This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
5 minutes past seven in the morning, 2nd of February 2021. I am Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Philip See and Wong Chow Ning. In about a quarter of an hour, we'll talk to Dr. Haminin Abdul Hamid, the research fellow at the Ilam Center, on the state of Malaysian politics. But in the meantime, markets in America?
Well, in the US, green territory all the way through. The Dow was up 0.8%, NASDAQ up 2.6%, S&P 500 up 1.8%. Across the Pacific to Asia, Nikkei up 1.5%, Shanghai Composite up 0.6%, Hang Seng up 2.2%, Singapore down 0.2%, while FBM KLCI was down 0.9%, I think, last Friday.
Okay, so to break down markets even more, we're talking now to Joe Quinlan, the Chief Market Strategist for the US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Joe, thanks for talking to us. Now, in terms of GameStop, do you see it having more repercussions on a wider basis within the financial markets in terms of it spreading beyond the whole short squeeze phenomenon?
No, not really. I mean, this is something we got to work through, but short squeezes, what's happening with retail investors. This is all part, kind of the broader backdrop. But I think, when you talk about fundamental investing, it's earning, it's growth, it's core competency. So it's added an element of volatility, but we're taking it in stride and think the markets will get back to focusing on earnings and the fundamentals.
And Joe, do you expect any increased regulatory action or kind of supervision? Because it's even attracted lawmakers like Elizabeth Warren coming out with statements.
For sure. I mean, the volatility, the headlines will get Congress involved. It's one thing to say Congress is involved versus actual legislation. So no, I don't expect any regulatory change to come from this. But it's part of the market, whether you're selling short or going long. It's part of the dynamics that is kind of educating us all. But I don't expect any real legislation to come out of this.
And Joe, I mean, you mentioned earnings, right? I think the rest of big tech reports, Amazon is coming out. Then you've also got healthcare sector. What's your point of view on those two areas?
Well, tech and healthcare for the long term, we still like. So if there's any pullback for whatever reason, anyone in Malaysia that can buy, U.S. stocks, if they pull back healthcare and tech, buy them. Long term, because technology is still, the platform economy is still evolving. Healthcare, life sciences, even European companies, Asian companies, demographics suggest that you want to be long healthcare. So I think their earnings are going to be good. Maybe they're not as perfect or robust as people expect, but thinking long term, any pullback is a buying opportunity.
Just deep diving into healthcare, do you see a distinction between vaccine and non-vaccine stocks? And even within those vaccine-related, do you see those with successful vaccines like Pfizer and not so successful like Merck?
Well, I'm not a healthcare analyst, but I follow it very closely. Merck, they didn't come up with a vaccination, but don't give up on the company for no reason at all. They're a very strong company, good pipeline. Once the pandemic passes, and I say that hopefully, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later, we'll get back to the pipeline of the big pharma, and Merck is right up there, global leader. So, don't throw everything out of your portfolio when it comes to vaccination versus non-vaccination.
And Joe, let's switch our attention to silver, because I think the retailers are having a serious look at it, and it's gone up, quite a bit, I think, close to its, what, 8-year high. Now, it's like I say, it's the focus of the retail trade frenzy. Are you a buyer of it?
Well, I mean, not after today, but but in general, commodities, think what's happening. Electrical vehicle uses four times as much copper as a regular car. Oil and gas, a lot of scrutiny there. Transitioning, good companies, big major oil companies transitioning towards more renewables. So I think the energy space and the infrastructure in and around it is some good opportunities there. But precious metals, silver, industrial metals, we like them because we believe in the synchronized global expansion, more monetary easing, fiscal stimulus. You want to own precious metals or industrial metals. I think they still have a ways to run.
Yeah, Joe, you mentioned EVs, and I've read that the European EV market has actually overtaken the Chinese market. I mean, Tesla's seeing some fatigue right now, but are there any other listed EV players that might warrant a look?
Well, it's a great question because, the EV market is gaining traction, and the U.S. is lagging. Only 1% of our sales, car sales, are electrical vehicles. That's going to change dramatically. But I would look at more the infrastructure, like the batteries, the charging stations, that, you know, the infrastructure in and around EVs is going to be very dynamic. And I think that's where the play is, as opposed to buying Tesla. I mean, I'm not recommending it. It's a great company. Mary Barra, at General Motors, all her cars by 2035 are going to be, you know, electrical vehicles. The infrastructure behind that is what you want to invest in, and that's batteries, data storage, and so forth. So put your money there.
Let's switch to foreign currency. Sorry, with the volatility in markets, do you foresee investors buying to U.S. dollar as a safe haven?
U.S. dollar is a safe haven. I think the dollar. You know, everyone came in the 21 thing, and the dollar is going to go down. And you know, once you get that sentiment, you want to go the other direction. Watch Europe very carefully. Europe is, you know, whiffed and fumbling the vaccination, and that's taken some steam out of the euro. And so that could give the dollar a bid. So I think the dollar hangs in there. The biggest issue for the dollar later on is the deficits and the debt. But that's a story for another day. The U.S. is behind China leading growth. So that means to me more dollar demand globally.
And Joe, let's look at Asia, right? Because if we look at the North Asian markets, the Hang Seng Index and the Kospi are all up 6%. So they're like the, you know, the real outperformers on a year-to-date basis. Do you still see a lot of money to be made in this part of the world?
You know, you could argue that they've run too far too fast. And remember, as you know, that 2020 was a good year as well. So it's kind of continuation. You know, I would look more down into Southeast Asia, you know, Malaysia included. Singapore, maybe not necessarily Thailand, given the coup in Myanmar and what that means for trade. But like, I would say, put it this way, any pullback, Taiwan, South Korea, Japan, China in the tech sector, that's a buying opportunity. So any pullback, long-term investor, buying opportunity.
Okay, thanks so much for your time, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist for the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Now, interesting points of view. Obviously, he's a very long-term guy, fundamentals-driven, earnings-driven, and any pullback in tech, any pullback in health, and by Southeast Asia, obviously, the demographics favor all those three areas.
I find the commodities pull very interesting because it's also linked to the whole environmental agenda coming through as we go into EV goods and even the supporting infrastructure to make that work. So quite interesting with Biden coming up with his second package, how that will even drive further demand for these specific commodities like silver and all that.
But there's a downside to that because silver has gone up and it's one of the components used in solar panels.
Exactly.
So not so good for clean energy, because I think what has happened in the last few years is that solar panels have come down in price by about 80% in the last 5 to 7 years. So it has meant that there's a lot more usage, especially among retailers, like ordinary people like myself. But if prices go back up, you know, are we going to see a reversal of this trend? It's the big question, right? Because this cost has to be passed on to the consumer.
Only time will tell. Okay, Nintendo, that gaming company from China, has reported operating profit of $2.2 billion, far above the $1.8 billion analysts are expecting. Now, they now expect full-year Switch sales of 26.5 million units, having already surpassed its previous projection of 24 million units.
Well, after 5 years on the market, the portable console sold 11.6 million units in the holiday period, up 7% on a year earlier. Sales remain strong even after the holidays.
I think we can thank the work from home phenomenon.
Yeah, home twiddling your thumbs. What better way to do twiddle your thumbs than to, you know, win a game of whatever.
Yeah, and so unsurprisingly...
Animal Crossing.
Unsurprisingly, the company also boosted its forecast for operating profit by 24%. And like you say, Philip, it's on the back of Animal Crossing. Because it's apparently... what people use to kind of soothe themselves during these lockdowns. It gives them a sense of escapism. So it helped push software sales up 43% to 176 million in 9 months ended December. So good news if you're a game player. I mean, if you're into this.
I mean, markets are just basically reflections of where the economy is, right? So if you see a recovery in commodities, it's because people are studying that in cars, studying that in planes, and going places, obviously, right? And of course, industrial applications like phones, etc. Same thing with the airlines, right? They are booking huge losses, like Ryanair is expecting a record loss of close to $1.2 billion in the year ending March 31st, before expecting a dramatic recovery later in the year because of the COVID-19 vaccination programs.
Well, I think it's very interesting in Europe, especially because the vaccination program is coming through. So a lot of the airlines are beginning to see some upside and expect, I think, some recovery to take place at least in the second half of the year.
But I'm just curious, because even here in Malaysia, and yes, there is the vaccination that's happening. I think, you know, like in UK, they've vaccinated 50% 15% of their population in a very short space of time. So kudos to them. But I think the EU program is rolling out slower. Mm. The problem about all this, and we saw it here in Malaysia, is that travel bubbles emerge and then they're quickly shut down, like the one between us and Singapore, right?
Because, the recent one just happened a couple of days ago.
Because we keep seeing waves of infection here and there. So I'm not really sure whether the airline's recovery is, you know, a little bit too premature to call. Mm.
And that's why the vaccination program is important. And more importantly, the results of the vaccination, whether or not the transmission is managed and basically contained. And first results actually coming through from the Israel vaccination program, where nearly one third have, is they actually see a significant drop in transmission. So yeah. I do think now, and you know, this is a good point where we hear a lot from Federal Reserve and even Bank Negara, they've always talked about COVID rates. I wonder if going forward, they were going to look at vaccination rates as a measure of how economy recovery
will
come through.
No, it will be part of the equation. It's going to be part of the narrative,
for sure,
right?
For sure.
I don't know how you put that in the formula, but it's definitely part of the formula. But going back to airlines, I mean, Ryanair is seen as one of those that's probably going to survive the pandemic. I mean, it's got large cash balance and a lack of long-haul and business-class flights. Of course, the next question is, does this also then apply to our one and only AirAsia who is doing a placement?
Well, that's the thing, right? They've got long-haul as well, and they've got to carry that on their balance sheet.
That's AirAsia X, though, but
that's right, yeah. Okay, so silver, I think, warrants a discussion because they've gone higher, much higher, because the Redditors have switched their attention, the Wall Street bettors have switched their attention to the silver. They thought there was a huge short squeeze on silver. Now it emerges that maybe that short among the banks isn't in existence, but it still sends shares of silver much higher. In fact, stock of silver much higher.
But it's premature, right? Because you can't compare silver with a GameStop. Silver has a long view. People actually see the demand for it. It's also a much larger market compared to GameStop.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I'm wondering why, you know, it's a very interesting parallel why they pick silver as the next place to go to, actually.
Ignorance is not always bliss when it comes to Wall Street bettors on Reddit. But that's, of course, a story which we'll keep on giving. Okay, 7:17. We'll come back after this with a discussion on politics with Dr. Hamidin of Ilam Research, Ilam Center. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.